Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours.
Let's do this, Dana. How's it going today?
It's going.
We've just had such a lovely laugh before we started here today. So really, really fun. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, we're here to do an interview. Let's press record. All right. Dana Sardano. Sardano? Did I say that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Because it could be Sardano, but it's probably Sardano.
Well, I'm from Jersey, so that's what I say Sardano. But Sardano. Most people say Sardano, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Do you live in Jersey now?
No, I'm in Stuart, Florida, but you know, when you're grown in Jersey, you're always Jersey, you know?
Yeah, I know. One of my best friends is from Jersey and she's always like, oh, I'm a Jersey girl. I mean, I'm like, okay, it's a thing.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got a very, very interesting background and I loved, it was just very different because you are now an artist, but it took like really just paying attention to your intuition that helped you to just, all right, let's do this. Can you tell us about your story?
Oh, I'm going to do my best to give you the abridged version, but I'm a career educator. I was in education about 25 years, but about the 20-year mark, I figured out I could paint. And when I picked up that paintbrush, it had awoken something in me that had lain dormant. Oh my God, since I was a kid, because I was always a creative kid. You know, when we're kids, we have our things that we're good at, that we are proclivities. And I started painting and it just so quickly evolved into painting for commissions, you know, painting, giving people paintings away at work, hanging them all over my office at school, doing the art festivals, doing exhibitions. And then within 2 years, I wound up leaving my very stable, very cushy, comfortable job. You know, the dissonance became so great because my heart was now in this other place. And then that evolved into opening my own art gallery and intuitive lounge, having an unintentional spiritual awakening, becoming an author, going into business with my partner in crime, Angela DeMarco, and doing all these amazing, wonderful things. And it all started with me just saying yes to my creativity. It's pretty amazing.
That is really amazing. And I love that you did that. And it's so interesting because I have here, I'm really bad with to-do lists, but I'm very forgetful and I'm kind of like a squirrel and I get distracted very easily. So I stopped doing to-do lists and guess what? I didn't get a lot done. So I'm back to doing to-do lists and I decided the other day, but like my to-do list takes me a few weeks to get through, but on it, I have a fun project and it's painting because it's something that has been tugging at me for so long. And let me tell you why, Dana. When I was in fifth grade, I loved art class. It was my favorite. I loved art class. I was in the fifth grade and we had this project and I had worked on it. It seemed like I'd worked on it for a long time. It may have just been a few weeks. I don't remember. But I was so proud of this piece of work that I did. And I showed the teacher and she looked at it and she goes, "That's terrible." And walked away. So imagine what that did to a child. And it's not only stunted my desire to ever, because I'm like, oh, I can't draw. I'm a terrible artist. Like I just took on that story because she was an authoritative figure in my life. She was a teacher. You listen to them. And this is why it's so important, you know, what we say to other people, not just children, but to adults. Like, because it really can, people can, you know, what you say can have a huge impact on others, both positive and negative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the first thing I did to to feed into that creativity was in my early 40s. And that's when I started writing my first book. I wrote the first page of my book in 2004, published it in 2009, and it's a novel. I'm about to resurge it again because there was three more books that didn't get published that have been finished. And I've just have this amazing work of art sitting there that's never been published. So anyway, I'm totally digressing now. But when I saw this, and I was so excited because I'm hoping that I will, because it's hard for me. It's hard for me to sit down and do it because that voice is still there from that teacher.
As you're talking, my head, because I'm a teacher and a parent, and you know what I mean? And a human. Yeah. And my head is about to explode. But I have to share with you a similar story. When I was about in the third grade, I was on the playground with whatever kids. And these girls, they had this little group. I don't remember what it was about, but whatever, a little girls club. And behind the seesaw, you had to go and you had to audition by singing this song called Spring Is Here. I'm not even going to give you a couple bars of it, but you had to sing this song. And when it was my turn to sing this song, they told me I was terrible. And I never sang again. I don't even, happy birthday, when people sing, I move my mouth because in my head, I can't sing. And it's so amazing how these beliefs that we develop about ourselves, and I hate to go like right into the book plug because it's
please,
so obnoxious.
Just do it.
And,
yep.
And the book is sitting right here only because I'm doing some audiobook stuff. But in 10 Rats, all I talk about are the beliefs that we develop from childhood and how all of our irrational beliefs about ourselves and all of our toxic and disturbing behavioral patterns are stemmed from those beliefs. So you had a belief. What grade did you say you were in this art class?
Fifth grade.
So I was
10 because I was a very young, like I was in kindergarten at the age of four.
So yeah,
You know, I was in college at 17. You know, I was young.
Yeah. So 10 years old, you have learned I am not creative. I am not a good artist. And it's not just about the art, it's about that whole idea of creativity. So
everything.
To step into anything creative has got to be crippling, right?
It's been hard. But yet I was a figure skater too, okay?
Okay.
But you're told what to do. You know, like your coach would be the one that would do the choreography for you and things like that. But I also had two older brothers that, how I believed that they hated me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was
your
my belief. I believed that they hated me because they teased me. They told me I was stupid. So I would be the little kid dancing around and they were told me I was stupid. And so I would just stop. And I was, you know, I was stifled, right? So many times. So I love that you have this book. And can you just, it's 10 Recommandments. Can you talk about that book?
So 10 Recommandments for Personal Empowerment is just 10 tenets of, you know, of just being to be more empowered in your life. And when I wrote it, I was working in the gallery. Remember, I opened this art gallery and this intuitive lounge and helping people to become, you know, connected to their true essence through creativity and all that. But I would work with people and the same, you know, the same anecdotes, the same stories, you know, all these things would come out of my mouth. And in 2021, in the spring of 2021, my whole family got COVID at the same time. We dropped like dominoes. And when I was in bed, finally getting that stillness that I've avoided because I'm busy and I'm working and I'm making things happen, that in my stillness, these beautiful, profound ideas were plopping into my head. And in my sickness, I would grab my cell phone and I would just kind of like put notes. And when I started to feel a little bit better, I'm like, let me organize these notes. And I was like, oh, there's 10 of them. Sorry, I have something on my lip. I'm so gross. And I was like, oh, I have 10 of them. And then I wrote a little bit. I'm like, oh, I'll do this in the gallery. I'll do a workshop or something. And I was like, holy crap, I'm writing a book. And it wound up being the way I taught in the classroom, the way I work with people individually, the way I do workshops in the gallery, that I take these profound ideas and I share anecdotes and parallels and stories and make it very personal. It's like I'm talking to the reader. And there's a lot in there that people that I know read and were like, I had no idea about that about you. But we all have a similar story. Like your brothers hated you. My brother hated me. You were, you know, you were told by somebody that you couldn't be, you didn't have certain creativity. I was told that. So when we share our stories, we come to realize that we're not so different.
No, we're
not. So that's 10 Recs.
I love it. Can you give us a couple just like, or, okay, let's do this. What is your favorite one out of the 10?
My favorite recommendation. Yeah. So I'd have to say the first one. The first recommendation. The first recommendation is I shall not claim victimhood, because when you wrap your brain, right? Because that's all it is. So when
that's
you
all
wrap,
it is.
That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. So when you wrap your brain around that, then I'm not going to get into all of them, obviously, but then 2 and 3 make sense. Like 2 and 3 and 4 are understanding why you think of yourself as a victim and unraveling that. And then 5 and up are like, oh, that makes sense. Let me apply that to this foundation. Oh, that makes sense. But I shall not claim victimhood, period.
That's incredible, because everything is at the core of that, because you're either a victim or a victor. I use all these colloquialisms, but they're true. You know?
Yeah.
You can't be grateful and angry at the same time, right? It's not possible. We live in that world of duality. And that's the biggest thing, is that people love being, and hey, I'm the same way. And I used to be the same way. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
But the way our DNA is wired is that when something happens, we immediately fall into the victimhood. And that's okay, right? It's okay because something happened to you. And you have to take the time to, you know, work through your feelings. You just can't stay there, right? But it's important to acknowledge that something happened and get to the point where you're like, okay, this happened for me, not to me.
100%. And that's why I wound up writing the entire trilogy. So I call it the 10 Rex trilogy. So 10 recommendations for personal empowerment is really understanding these basic things, bringing yourself back into an alignment and empowerment. And the follow-up is beyond the 10 decoding the woo-woo. Like once you do that, the magic seems to appear around you, but really it's you. And then the third one, and this one I have to go off on, because it's easy for me to say, don't be a victim and do this and do that. But the third one, and again, because I'm doing the audiobook, it's sitting here.
It should be sitting there, Dana, because we're promoting your book. So let's see your book. Let's see it.
It's like embarrassing. I'm like, as a matter of fact,
no.
I've got them
That's
right
why
here. Yeah.
That is why you're on the show today, so that we can talk about your books. Yeah.
But the third one, it's you've cracked the code, because the second one's decoding the woo-woo. You've cracked the code. The woo is you. So we're here. It's upside down. We're here. I'm telling you how to, the first recommendation, say, don't be a victim, whatever it is. And this one, I'm telling you how. It's all of these questions that you could, you know, self-reflective questions, and really, really peeling it back. So like you said, we immediately go into victimhood. The question is, why do I stay there? Why am I comfortable there? What am I aligning with that makes me feel like I belong in victimhood? And this is really what gets you out of that hole.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's such a tricky thing, because, you know, shit is real. Things happen. And it's hard.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, with me, and I share a lot about my stories and my life, you know, on this podcast. And, you know, each time something happens to me, right? I recorded a solo podcast interview a couple months ago, because I was out walking my little dog. I know I showed you this. He's never in here. This is literally episode 400 gets released tomorrow. And this is the first time he's actually been in my office while I'm recording. And he just turned 5 a couple days ago. But I'm walking this little guy. He's 10 pounds. He's a Yorkie poo. And we got attacked by a dog that got out of its house. And we got attacked. And that really freaked me out. And so I ended up the next day, I did this whole solo podcast episode about things happen for you, not to you. And I just talked about how, you know, you don't understand it right away sometimes. And sometimes we never fully understand why something happened to you, and getting to that point where you just are at peace with it. Okay, it happened, and you can look back at it with neutrality. Because when I did that episode, I was talking about how I really wasn't sure at that time why it happened. And I said, sometimes you never know. I still don't understand why it happened, but that's okay. I can look back at it with neutrality. And that's the whole point, is moving beyond it and being able to look back and be like, oh, okay, it happened, period. And not attach that emotion to it, you know?
Yeah.
The anger, yes. The fear, the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, you said more than once that it does, life doesn't happen to you, you know, it happens for you. And in the beginning of the third of the trilogy, I'm like, all right, before we get started, first things first. And I give a list of like, I like to do lists, I'm a teacher, but 10 things, boom, 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 before we get started. And I think number two or three is life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. It's to recognize that everything, every experience is a gift of some sort. And you know what I notice? And tell me if you notice this, Sandy. I noticed that sometimes something will happen, and obviously in the moment, it's like, oh, the world is falling, coming to an end, and life sucks, and whatever. But like with a little bit of distance, and you have, and you gain perspective, and you go, oh, this is the purpose. But a year later, you can look at it again, and there's like three or four different purposes. It's really where you are, where your level of awareness is. So things aren't, nothing is just one thing. Another thing that I hear myself saying all the time, there's so many things are multifaceted and multi-purpose, and it's just really what we're willing to see. And as we expand ourselves, what we're able to see, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, clearly. And you brought up such a good point because, you know, I really believe that we are here on this earth as humans to evolve and grow, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at, I'm a huge ancient history buff. And when you look at the way things were and how they are now, even you just take the last 100 years, how much we've evolved as a species, and our DNA is still in that fight or flight. And that's going to take, I heard one scientist that works with DNA, and they said it could take 1 million years for that fight or flight to be completely out of our DNA, right? Because that was how we existed as humans in the beginning, and it's still there. Because, you know, it's only been a couple thousand years since we were hunting for our food. You know, it's really 100 years or so, right? Because we were still hunting. It's only been, you know, really over 100 years. So, you know, it's still there. And but the thing is most people, it's uncomfortable sitting in the pain and going through it, right? And I just know, like for me, I went over it, under it, around it. I didn't want to deal with the childhood trauma that I went through, you know, all of those things. And once I did, it's uncomfortable and it sucks and it's hard. But once you get to the other side, you're like, oh, and you're just, it, like you said, it's your perception. It's like the horse races, you know, the race horses, they've got the blinders on because, and they do that for a reason, right? Because the jockeys, the trainers, they only want the horse to look straight ahead and they don't want it seeing the horses that are around them, right? Because that'll distract them. Yeah. So most people are walking through life with these blinders on and they're not seeing the bigger picture, right? And they're focusing on the rear view mirror, right? Always looking back at what happened. But as humans, that is our role. That is our mission. We are on an assignment here, and that is to grow and evolve and to serve others and help everybody else rise up. And anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
I'm laughing because my inner person is like, yeah, Sandy's preaching. Yes, that, everything you're saying. Yes. I'm also thinking, oh my God, that's in chapter 2. Oh my God, that's chapter 6. Oh my God, I said that exact thing. Yes, it is. I get excited. But it is. It's truth. Everything you're saying is so, so true. And I believe when people can wrap their brains around that there's something to glean from everything. And you said it perfectly. You know, you tried to go around it and over it and under it. Me, I tried to smoke it away and drink it away and eat it away, right? All of those things. Oh, yeah.
We've all done it. I mean,
we've all done it. And some of us are still doing it. But what happens is when we don't, you know, hit our rock bottom, our dark night of the soul, and we ignore the signs because they keep coming harder and faster until like they're really, really painful, we become caricatures of our dysfunction. So just as an example, I look at my mother. My mother has passed, but when my mother was young, you know, I could have characterized her as like a mean girl. like she was like a narcissistic, if you want to put labels. She was, she was beautiful, but like that's all she kind of had going for her. So she was like nasty to other women. You know, she's catty. Yeah, I don't have to describe it any further than that. She never reconciled her imbalances, her trauma from her mother, her neglect, her abuse. And she just became meaner and nastier. And as she got older, her looks began to fade. Her marriage went in the toilet. She lost her career because of an injury. The details don't matter. And she died the worst version of herself, a caricature of that dysfunction. And that's what's happening to people. And I could even see it in people's physicality because it affects us. It affects our health. So I'm becoming so sensitive now to people's pain and suffering that I can see it in them physically when I'm out. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we could avoid it all you want, but there's a line in the book, and I'm going to be in 10 recs, I'm going to be crass for just a second. I'm like, the lessons come to you as like a tap on the shoulder, like a tickle of a feather, maybe a shot to the arm. And then the universe gives you a good old-fashioned twat punch to really let you know that it's not messing around. And that's what happens. So people, anybody who's listening, you cannot avoid it. You cannot avoid it. It's always coming at you. You make the choice whether or not you accept the task, overcome it, celebrate on the other side, or wind up becoming a person who's more in pain, who's more angry, who's again, an exaggerated version of your dysfunction.
Mm, yeah. And you said something really important that I want to emphasize. And I don't know if you were intending this, but you talked about how you can see it. So for all the women out there, if you want to increase your longevity and keep looking younger, you got to work on the space between your ears, rather. You got to work on your mindset because, right, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Well, let me tell you something. You can see some of these old ladies that are just, the lines. And yeah, we're all going to get them eventually, but you can prolong that much longer if you start having a happier outlook in life, Most people can't believe that I'm turning 60 this year, granted the camera makes me look a little bit better and I've got plenty of wrinkles, but I actually had a friend I was at the lunch with probably like 6 months ago. And she was like, "So when did you have a facelift?" I'm like, "I've never had a facelift." She's like, "Oh, come on, you've had a facelift." I'm like, I really haven't. And I'm afraid to do something like that. I'm not saying I'll never do it, but I'm afraid of it because I don't want to look like a
freak, totally.
Right? I'd rather just grow old gracefully. But there's something to be said for that, the longevity, like not only on the outside, but on the inside, like when you're carrying around all of that victimhood, the negativity and all of those things, it's going to age you on the inside and your appearance as well.
Yeah. And I actually talk about that in Recommendment A about our physical guidance and how we should listen to our physical guidance. Not like it could be as simple as, when I get excited about something, I get a butterfly in my stomach, or severe as a manifestation of an ignored emotional trauma. Just to give you an example, I was always stifled as a kid, always never allowed to be my authentic self, to speak my mind, I was punished for communication, all those things.
Yep.
And when I was 20, and yeah, so many of us, oh my God, it's definitely the Gen X sort of, anyway. But when I was 25, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And I'm sure see the scar on my neck.
Oh, wow.
And I knew at 25, before I even had a remote idea of what I understand now, that I was like, I got thyroid cancer in this area because I was never able to speak my truth.
That's right.
So
that's right.
What happens to us is, I don't want to go through like the whole chakra system, but we have all these energy centers within our body and we have developmental stages that correspond with these energy centers. And so when we have an issue during a developmental stage that hasn't been reconciled and we have that trapped stored energy, the issues are in your tissues, it creates problems. And as we get older, and if we don't address them, they create physical maladies. I had them in my solar plexus area, in my, you know, my belly. And, you know, I had whatever. I had all sorts of issues years ago. And I realized, oh, this is connected too. And so you work through the emotional trauma, you handle the physical manifestation. Hopefully you bring your pendulum back to center and you continue to handle things in real time from then on in. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's really remarkable that you were able to put that together, not using your voice and then getting, you know,
that
surgery. And I told you before we hit record, because we were talking about the fair skin and everything.
Yeah.
And I had, so I was teased and bullied horrifically about my nose. Okay. And it just has a little turn up. But not only was I teased externally, I mean, I literally had a classmate in the fifth grade. Fifth grade was a horrible year for me.
Yeah.
This girl pushed me up against the wall. She had one hand around my neck and the other one, she was pushing up my nose. And I was up against a wall in school and everybody was around laughing. Okay. And then I had boys in high school joke at me about my nose. All of my family have very straight pointy nose. And I was teased saying that I was the mailman's kid because I look so different. So fast forward, I go to a plastic surgeon because I'm like, okay, I want to have a nose job, right? And this was in my early 40s. And they did a, I've talked about this before on my show. They did a before and after picture. And I saw like a picture of what it would look like. And what I recognized was this little nose softens my face. And with the straight nose, it changed everything how I looked. Okay. So that was in my early 40s. Fast forward to a year ago. Okay. I don't even think about it. You know, I've accepted it. I'm like, okay, I'm not getting a nose job. But I had the first scare with skin cancer on the side of my nose. And I've got a scar. I'm like, do I need to see a plastic surgeon? Because it's clearly, you can't see it here, but it's clear, like when you look up close, it's clearly deformed a little bit on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the universe laughing at me, right?
Like, well, it's
I've had this horrible relationship with my nose and then look what happened. I had to have it, you know, and now it's like, I can either love it or I can hate it. I have a choice and I'm going to love it. Lots of love and energy and, you know.
Well, that's the point that I was just going to make. It's not the universe laughing at you as much as it's another opportunity for you to have self-acceptance. It's right.
Right.
It's your twat punch. It's that's, you know
yeah,
what
laughing,
I mean?
Probably, but you know how they say, you know, how do you make God laugh? Tell him your plans, you know?
Right.
So that's what I was kind of thinking of. But yeah, but it was just kind of like, yeah, well, no wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really something. And, you know, you mentioning the fifth grade and the bullying and the beliefs that we have, the thing that I keep referring back to in any of the stuff that I've written, it's the child's belief, because it's easy for the adult to say, well, what are you talking about? Look at you. You're gorgeous. Because so what that they said that your nose was whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the reality is the 10-year-old believed that there was something wrong with her because somebody else said so, and more than one, and people agreed, right? You had the collective agreement that there was something wrong with you. Because I look back at my experience again, none of us are special. We all have the same freaking story,
special,
different
right?
names, different faces. None of us are special, but like the same thing with my body image. I busted my ass my entire life to create this physical appearance because I believed that I was fat and ugly and I would never have a boyfriend because out of anger, my father, and I'm taking it out of context, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, that sentence came out of his mouth. Now, it didn't matter that a billion other things came out of his mouth. I understood at 9 or 10 years old that I was fat and ugly and I would never have a boyfriend. So what did I do? I made sure I was skinny and beautiful and had sex with as many people as would have me because I showed him.
And your poor father, like that was not his intent in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, no, not at all. Right? And that's what I'm saying. No. The child's belief, it's the child. And so when we talk to people, we try to diminish their trauma because we're like, no, this one's had it so much worse. Or I've had it. At the end of the day, if the child believes that the nose is deformed, that the child believes that the body is ugly, if the child believes that she can't sing or she can't create art, then that's a child's belief and it needs to be honored and it needs to be brought back to a rational state from the adult's belief. The rational adult has to go, okay, let me bring you to now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let's talk about your art. And I'm going to make a wild assumption that the piece behind you is yours.
Yeah. Check out this one. That's Lashes.
Oh, look at that.
And that's Poppy. Beautiful. And that's Barry Manilow. Yeah.
So what is your style? Do they, because I love the flowers. Like for me, yeah. if any piece of art I'm going to do is going to have flowers on it because I love flowers. So what is your style, would you say?
I don't, you know, I've been asked this before and I don't know. I just kind of paint what feels right. It's just mine. It's just mine. I do like to paint women. I like to paint women and children. I'll do like animals and flowers sort of stuff. But when I started painting the first, I would say like 6 months, I would see something on the internet that interests me and I would paint it, but I always have my own style. So I would paint like my version of it. And then one day I painted a mother with like a baby mermaid and my kids were young at the time. It's 10 years now that I've been painting. So my kids were like 4 and 5 and something had awoken in me when I painted that mother child painting. And then I lost my shit. Like everything after that was all mother children. And then I started painting like the independent women. And then like some of my stuff got a little spiritual. So I actually created another book called A Woman's Journey with my artwork. It's an anthology of my artwork, but I created the journey of a woman. So I do like my flowered pieces. Then I do my empowered pieces, my motherhood. And I go into spirituality and I tell this story with the artwork. And it's just love, joy, womanhood. Wow. Like that's my style. Love, joy, womanhood. You know what I mean?
It's incredible. You didn't mention this, but did you do the illustrations of your covers of your book?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, it looks, yeah. I mean, yeah, you clearly so, did. Now I'm going through I stopped at the third, the woo is you, and now I'm on your website for the audience. You can check it out. I'll put it in. It's kind of a longer website because it's with the publishing company, but I'll make sure this is in the show notes. But folks, check out her website with all of the books because, I mean, the covers are just absolutely beautiful. I mean, you've got a lot. How many books have you written? My Lord.
Seven. Yeah.
Is this your own publishing company?
Yeah, Angela and I, you know, it's necessity is the mother of invention. So we created, I had an issue when I initially published with an indie publisher and we're like, why are we counting on somebody else when we could do this ourselves?
Just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Your work is absolutely gorgeous. Wow.
Oh, thank you. The covers are like the elements. So like this one, she's pulled off the painting. You know what I mean? She's pulled off the painting and the same here. But on the website, if anybody was to go to the Phenom website, as you scroll down and it shows my artwork, it will send you to my individual Ubuntu Fish Gallery. And then you'll see the whole gallery of paintings. The Phenom, my page on Phenom is me as the author artist.
Wow. Now, can people purchase your artwork online?
Yeah. If you go to, it's just the easiest to go to Phenom Publishing, right? Where you are right now. And then when you scroll and you see the page, right? I'm sure you see the little, there's like 5 paintings and it's like Ubuntu, go to Ubuntu Fish.
I'm on the gallery page right now.
Oh, okay. So if you go to the gallery page and then it goes to the gallery, there's Belle Giclées and I created merchandise and all sorts of stuff that you could buy directly online. But if you actually wanted to buy a painting, I want you to connect with me directly because they're like my children. I'm not just going to like ship something off because you put it in your cart. Like, I want to talk to you. I want to make sure it's going to a good home. I want to make sure, you know, you don't smoke. No, I'm kidding. But I just want to make sure that I build a relationship with you because I'm giving you a piece of me or I'm selling you, you know, a piece of me.
Sure.
And so that's how I do that.
These are just absolutely, absolutely stunning, stunning, stunning.
Oh my goodness! Say more things like that, Sandy. Thank
you. I love it. And you've got. How do you say it? Ubuntu.
Ubuntu. Ubuntu. What is?
Where, how did you come up with Ubuntu? Does that mean something?
Yeah. So Ubuntu is an African term, and it means I am because we are. It's the whole idea of unity consciousness, and so. I stumbled across the term again when my children were little, and I was like, oh my God, everything in my house is going to be Ubuntu. These kids need to learn how to live under this philosophy. So that's why the gallery is called Ubuntu. My women that I paint are called the Ubuntu girls. So everything is about lifting one another up. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're here. Like you said, we're here to grow, to learn, to expand, and to assist each other in the process, you know?
And your animals, oh, these are great. The dogs, yeah. I love it. And there, a lot of them are sold.
Yeah, a lot of those dogs were commissions. You know, the ones that are a similar style, they're commissions.
Nice. Oh my gosh. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Wow.
Oh, thank you.
I am so inspired. I am so inspired. And I kind of like, for me, for some reason, right now, and this is what I wrote down, is I'm inspired to do calligraphy, like some sort of calligraphy. And that's what I'm going to work on, is the calligraphy. Yeah. I don't know why. There's just, because, you know, I do have an Etsy store and I love the sayings. And I'm like, so I have this thing in my mind that I'm going to make something really pretty that I can put on t-shirts and stuff. I don't know. It's just like a project that I want to work on, you know? Yeah.
I would love for you, or I'm asking you to promise that when you start doing it, you'll send me pictures, because it's hard. It's very difficult to cross the line of that insecurity, but I want to be a cheerleader. I want to see them. I want to get excited. I want to see you do this. So please send them to me when you get started.
For sure. Now your gallery is in Florida. Correct.
Well, the gallery itself, I sold. I opened it in 2019 and I sold the structure in 2023, because as I started to expand and it turned more into an author, you know, like and speaker and that sort of thing, I no longer needed the structure. It became a burden. Sure. And when something becomes a burden, it's time to let go. But I do my business online now. So it's a virtual gallery essentially now.
Okay. And you have services here. So talk about how people can work with you, and why would somebody come to you for assistance?
That is a real, you know, nobody has ever asked me that. Like, why you? Like, what, you know what I mean? Why would somebody come to you? And I'll tell you, I think what makes me different than a lot of people that work one-on-one with people is I am deliberate about getting to the core of the problem. And there is a spectrum of practical coaching and sort of spiritual woo. And we all fall like on that spectrum somewhere. And I think I fall right in the middle. So I understand the woo, the spiritual aspect, bringing people to that level if that's where they want to go. But my level of pragmatism and really helping people, I joke, get their heads out of their asses, take responsibility for themselves, get to the root of it, and take actionable steps forward. My background, like I said, is in education, in special education. So I think when people are no longer fucking around, when people are tired of like the sort of superficial do these five things and you'll be happy. No, when people are tired of that and they're ready to really do it, come to me. I got you. So that's why, thanks for asking that. That's a pretty good question.
I love it. I love it. And I love the picture on the site. You're holding a coffee cup and it says, I am worthy of and empowered to pursue my purpose.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. And to give you a little history on that, the other side of that mug has a little cartoon character that I created. Her name is Daya. I wrote a book, one of the seven, for adolescents about the practicality of chakra development and kids understanding their emotions based on their development. So I have a line of those mugs. You'd see them on the shop, on the website, of each character that represents, you know, the color and the she's about empowerment. So, every single thing I do aligns with that mission of, again, Ubuntu, there she goes, or he, your dog, boy or girl.
Yes, he's a boy. He's a little boy.
But say that again.
He's a little boy.
A little boy. Yorkie poo.
Cute.
Yep. Cute. But it all aligns with the same purpose of lifting one another up, understanding the self and evolving in that way, you know?
Mm. Love it. It's so important, because without purpose, you're just kind of like you're just flighting around like a butterfly, which isn't a horrible thing. It's just, as I'm saying, I'm like, it's not a horrible thing to just be kind of fluttering around in life.
Yeah, until it flies into a windshield.
There you go. Thank you. Yes.
You know, then that'll suck. That'll suck.
It'll totally suck. And then you're like, now what? Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Is there anything else you want to mention before we wrap this up?
You know, I just want to thank you for having me. You know, I did some recon on you. I see your guests. I see and hear the message that you convey, and you clearly are motivated to assist others in getting it. You're bringing a light to the world. It's the reason you are the Dick Clark of 60-year-olds. You look amazing. Now, all of these things, like, it's like, you're right. I'm the Dick Clark of 60-year-olds. But there's something about the times that we're in. I didn't realize I was going to go off on this, but there's something about the times that we're in that is setting the stage for more people like you, more people like me, to remind the others that just haven't figured it out yet, that we all have the light. It's just about figuring out how to turn that on. And you're one of those people that do that. So thank you. And thank you for having me here to share mine with your audience. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Dana. All right, folks, go to the show notes and get to her website and check out her art and her books. Amazing. I love the trilogy, especially. That's just incredible.
It's absolutely my favorite. Incredible. That's my crown jewel for
it's
sure.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, thank brilliant. You.
All right, thank you so much. And for all the listeners, thank you. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and lots of creativity. Take care, everyone.